Our reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Proverbs. If you're following in the church Bible, you'll find it on page 662. So it's Proverbs chapter 26, starting at verse 13. The sluggard says, "There is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly." And then we turn back to chapter 6 of Proverbs and verse 6. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man."
Thanks, Keith. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back with you and having the chance to look at this passage in Proverbs. And just before we go on our holiday, for those of you who don't know, I'm Stewie. I'm the pastor here at Slaybrook, and it's a joy to have you with us this morning. Let's pray as we come to God's word and ask for his help. Heavenly Father, we know that unless you open the eyes of our hearts to see the wonders and glories of your word, our hearts will remain cold. Our ears will remain closed. And so we pray by your Spirit's power this morning, open our eyes to see the wonders that you teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been working our way through the Proverbs in the summer, looking at the gallery of wisdom, different characters that we encounter as we work our way through the book of Proverbs. And we've had a chance to look at the wise, we've had a chance to look at the fool. Last week we looked at the simple. I was slightly concerned when I saw the kind of layout for the kind of preaching schedule through the summer, and it said, "The sluggard, Stewie Chaplin." But we'll make up our mind this morning, how we feel about that. So far, our journey through the Proverbs has challenged us to think about these big categories. Are we being wise? Are we trusting the Lord with all our hearts? Or are we being fools and leaning on our own understanding? But kind of beneath those big headlines, are you wise or foolish? There are also kind of more nuanced categories, aren't there? Characteristics that could be present in our lives, both good and bad. Last week it was, are we simple? Are you willing to believe just anything you're told? You see, that's a characteristic that puts us in danger of becoming a fool. And this morning what we're going to see is there is another way to become foolish, by being a sluggard. Now, if anyone told you you were like a slug, I can't imagine you'd take that as a compliment, would you? You know, even our most basic knowledge of garden wildlife tells us slugs are notorious for a lack of urgency. You ever watch one just working its way across your vegetable garden to eat your lettuces? You know, they're not in a hurry, they're taking their time. You know, no one's going to rush them, even if the salt is about to pour out above them. No wonder Proverbs characterizes lazy people like a slug. And yet, even though we know it's a pretty horrible picture, at the same time, laziness has become one of those acceptable sins. Things that we're sort of willing to treat as a bit of a joke. You know, you laugh, don't you, at the stereotype of lazy students who remain stuck to their beds until well into the afternoon. I remember it well. You know, we might make funny quips about, oh, I'm so bad at procrastination. I really put things off when they need to be done. And it's all a big joke, isn't it? Oh, yeah, we know him. He's always like that. Oh, well, that's just who he is. But the problem is, when we belittle sin in the Christian life, well, that's an issue, isn't it? We remove any sense of urgency about making a change. And that does not bring glory to God when we sit on our problems, when we laugh about them, when we make no effort to change. If you and I are going to grow in our likeness to the Lord Jesus, who embodied the very wisdom of God, we need to understand what laziness really is, the forms it takes in our lives, and see what steps that Scripture encourages us to take in order that we might change. Now, we're going to do that by looking at those two passages that Keith read for us from the Proverbs. And the first kind of half of this is going to be looking at ways that the sluggard can act. That's in Proverbs 26. So do have that open in front of you. It'll be really helpful as we work our way through. Page 662 in the Church Bibles. Let's look at the ways a sluggard can act. Now, the most obvious characteristic of a sluggard is found in those kind of central verses of our passage that we had read, verses 14 and 15. Sluggards are lazy. Have a look. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. If you had to nail down what laziness looks like in practice, I think these are the kind of things that most of us would think of. A sluggard simply cannot be bothered to complete even the most basic task. And the most active you will find them is turning over in bed to get a more comfy position. They are work shy. They are idle. But we need to dig deeper into what that actually looks like. First, let's think about the sluggard's relationship with his bed in verse 14. You know, here is a person who is so attached to their bed, it's like a door on its hinges. So habitually lazy, they don't just like their bed, they love it. Hinged to their bed. Now that's pretty vivid imagery, isn't it? Just as a door will only go as far as the hinges allow it to turn, so a sluggard will only go as far as its bed allows it to go. The sluggard loves laziness so much, they will not use their energy for anything except turning themselves into a more comfortable position. You see, comfort is the sluggard's ultimate goal. Secondly, we need to see that this inactivity extends to even the most basic tasks. Verse 15, they can't be bothered. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish, he's getting his food, and he's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. Now, around the room here this morning, we all probably know people who start jobs and never finish them. If you've been around our house recently, you'll know that's exactly what it looks like. There are all kinds of DIY jobs that we've started and that we haven't completed yet. That's the problem of living in a building site. But the difference with the sluggard is, even something as basic as moving his hand to his mouth to eat, a basic daily thing you've got to do, it just seems too much like hard work. Any task or work that requires exertion, it's a huge distraction from the big task of doing nothing at all. I think there's probably a variety of ways we might respond to these verses, to that picture of somebody who is habitually lazy. I think if you were raised in the kind of environment where the so-called Protestant work ethic was taught, you'll be nodding your heads along at these challenges to laziness. Perhaps you look at the younger generation and you wonder why it is they can have so much energy to eat avocado and drink lattes, but they seem unwilling to get out of bed and do a hard day's work. Not like in the good old days. Friends, if that's you this morning, we need to guard against self-righteous pride if laziness is not our besetting sin. Yes, it is a problem for some. But we don't get self-righteous about it if it's not our problem. But then there will be those of us who enjoy long lines and relaxing days off. Or perhaps we're struggling with health issues and things that have left us sapped of energy. Is an early start inherently more godly than a late morning? Am I guilty of being a sluggard if I hit the snooze button on my alarm tomorrow morning? I'm on holiday. Well, if your tendency is to rush towards self-condemnation when you hear verses like this, we need to make sure we are carefully applying these verses. The first thing to say is the precise application of wisdom to our lives is something that will change over time. What it means to be lazy depends on our age, our circumstances, any underlying health conditions that we have. And so I think that the thing that helps us understand what the Proverbs is getting at here is that this challenge is to those who could use the energy and the bodies that God has given them to do a whole range of things, but who choose not to, because it will inconvenience them from living a life of ease. Now that could be each and every one of us. And it doesn't look like getting up late in the morning, necessarily. You can be up at 6 a.m. to do your Bible reading and still want to live a life of ease. You can be the most hard-working person when it suits you. But when somebody asks you to do a task outside the box, you just can't be bothered. Laziness is not just found in the obvious places. And so it's important we recognize that the person who is struggling with a health condition, who is trying their hardest, who has reached their physical limitations and just can't do any more, that is not the person that these verses are talking about. It's the person who just can't be bothered to make an effort. The problem with a sluggard is not that they don't have energy, but they are determined to only use the energy they have in an entirely selfish way. They won't work if there is a way to get others to do the work for them. They won't inconvenience themselves for the sake of others. And friends, we need to see this morning how unlike the Lord Jesus Christ this is. Think what the New Testament calls us to be as followers of Jesus. We are called to have the same attitude as Christ. Now, what did he come to do? Not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Can you see how incompatible laziness is with a life that is like Jesus? We need to see a sluggard can be lazy, but there is more in this passage that we need to get. You see, the second part of the passage, verses 13 and 16, well, that's all about how the sluggard makes excuses not to do things. Verse 13, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. A fierce lion is roaming the streets. There's a bit of calculation going on here, isn't there? You see, a lazy person realizes they don't get a lot of sympathy and understanding from other people for staying in bed and not working. And so what the sluggard tries to do is shift the focus from their character flaw to a kind of legitimate concern, like the fear of lions. And perhaps, therefore, they can get away with their lazy behavior. If we can convince everyone there is a reason for me not to do the thing that I really should be doing, then it'll be okay. Everyone will have to let me off. No one can be cross with me. And the thing is, the example here, the sluggard is not telling a straight out lie. There were lions in ancient Israel. There is a possibility that there could have been a lion in the street. But this danger is a carefully crafted illusion. It's something that has been deliberately chosen to gain approval and sympathy for their sinful laziness. This isn't simply a case of misleading others in a calculated way. Look at what the scriptures tell us about our own hearts. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it, says Jeremiah? We need to understand what is going on in the heart of a sluggard as they deceive others. They are actually deceiving themselves. The pastor John Piper writes this about this passage. We must understand how our sinful human hearts and minds work. One profound biblical insight we need to embrace is that our heart exploits our mind to justify what the heart wants. And so in making excuses, the sluggard isn't just deceiving other people as to why they aren't going out to do some work. They begin to deceive themselves about the danger that's out there. Now, Piper goes on to say, that is why verse 16 talks about the sluggard being wise in their own eyes. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. It's not necessarily that laziness makes people proud and think they know best, but it's that their laziness makes them completely resistant to any attempts to expose the reality of their hearts. You could line up seven trustworthy people to testify there is no lion in the street outside, and the sluggard would still convince themselves there could be a lion in the street outside. In other words, a sluggard is willing to sacrifice even the truth for the sake of protecting their own ongoing comfort and ease. They'll tell lies to convince others. They'll tell lies to convince themselves. By leaning on our own understanding, despite evidence to the contrary, well, the sluggard is revealing he's a fool. And sadly, this is something that happens all the time in our post-truth society. People are prepared to justify their lack of effort and action on the basis of their own strongly held but false opinions. But at the same time, we live in a world where our society tells us we are wrong to hatefully challenge people's truth, to tell them that they are wrong. We're caught between the two, aren't we? People can say whatever they want to justify their actions, and we're not allowed to tell them it's not true. The sluggard's paradise. That is the world we are living in. And so, as Christians, we need to guard against the temptation to fall in line with the world's foolish thinking, because it will make sluggards of us all. Sadly, Christians are not immune from making implausible excuses to get out of doing uncomfortable things. Many of us will have cancelled on plans or responsibilities because we felt a bit tired, and yet the energy was there to do something that we really wanted to do that day. Perhaps we've even used a legitimate problem, situation, medical condition as cover to get out of something that we really didn't want to do, because we know no one could ever challenge us because of that. They know we've got a health condition, and so we can use that to get out of things we want to do, don't want to do. We need to know our own hearts. We need to take care that we are not making excuses, lying to others, lying to ourselves. The way of the sluggard is not the way of Jesus. So just before we flick back to Proverbs 6, just take a moment to examine your own heart, your own actions and attitudes. Do you see these patterns of behavior in your life? Just take a moment now. Ask the Lord to show you, where have you fallen into these lazy habits, those things that characterize a sluggard? Do you love your bed? Do you find yourself saying, I can't be bothered? Do you make excuses? Do you hide so that you aren't exposed? Well, what do we do in response to the challenge of God's word? Perhaps you've heard the diagnosis of Proverbs this morning, and the Holy Spirit has convicted you of ways that your life does overwhelmingly show a commitment to ease and comfort, like the sluggard. What hope and help do the Proverbs offer us to grow in wisdom, to change so that we might become like Jesus? We'll flick back to page 639. And have a look at Proverbs chapter 6. And we're going to see that actually the Proverbs does show us there are ways for a sluggard to change. There are ways for a sluggard to learn. The first of the two ways that the sluggard is to learn is from the world around you. Just think about this. The world was created according to God's wise designs. And so that means that there are lessons and examples scattered throughout the creation, which ought to instruct us in the way of wisdom. We've already been talking this morning about the eclipse and learning from the world around us, showing us who we are, our insignificance in the universe, and yet God's love for us so small in comparison. And yet there are other ways for us to do that. And I have to say, I think this is an area in which evangelical Christians, we have a tendency to overlook it. Because our commitment is to Scripture, God's ultimate revelation. That is the place where we learn. Yet at the same time, creation itself is a revelation of God's eternal character and qualities as well. The Bible itself tells us that. We don't need to be afraid of learning wisdom from the world around us. And the specific example that's given to the sluggard to learn from is the hardworking ant, verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. If we think that we're insignificant in this world, well, how insignificant does an ant seem? So small, so tiny. And yet God tells us these creatures are an example to us to learn from. Ants don't lay about in bed all day when there is work to be done. They don't put off a job until someone tells them, you better get on and do that today. They do it. They recognize that they have a need. They work hard to meet that need. A tiny insect has enough wisdom to recognize that they need to do that. And so why shouldn't we have the same? We need to learn from the world around us. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Learn from the animal kingdom. But the second way that the Proverbs encourages us to learn is, well, it's to look where we're heading, verses 9 to 11. You know, if actions have consequences, well then so too does inaction. Now, if it was completely impossible for us to know the outcome of our choices, you could never blame a person for making a bad choice. How would we know that this particular choice of actions would lead to something negative? But when it comes to the case of the sluggard, the consequences of their inaction are very clear. They have been warned about where they're heading. Look at verse 9. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Do you see, the sluggard should know full well that their continual laziness does not have a happy ending. Every time we actively choose sleep, slumber, folding of the hands into a more comfy position so that we can rest, instead of doing the work that we are supposed to be doing, we are taking a step closer to poverty. By not doing the things that we need to do, we're left with nothing. And the point that the Proverbs is making here is the sluggard is sleepwalking, literally, towards disaster. Because the day will suddenly come when there's nothing left. Provisions are scarce. They've got nothing stored up and no way of getting more because they can't be bothered. And what will be left of their life of ease and comfort then? They know that's where their actions are taking them. And yet if they will not listen, disaster will come. And Proverbs is saying to us, we need to learn from the warning of where we're heading. Not just to sit back and say, oh, it'll be all right, it'll be fine. But to see that where we're heading could be disaster if we do not change. If we are determined to put away laziness, to grow in wisdom, then these two things are going to help us. We need to learn from the world around us. We need to learn from where we are heading. But as Christians, it's important that we note the Lord Jesus helps us to do both these things as well. As we go to the world around us, as we look to the ant to teach us, we also have the Lord Jesus as our example of wise living, don't we? He embodied what it was to live a perfect life of wisdom, of hard work, and yet he rested. We have Jesus to follow. But more than that, the Apostle Paul says to imitate him as he imitates Christ. So we aren't just called to be wise by looking to Jesus. We're called to be wise by looking to those who are looking to Jesus. Those more mature Christians who have learned to fight laziness, who have learned to work hard for the Lord with all their strength. We don't just need to look at the ant for our example. We have a church of people around us who can teach us what it is to put away laziness. That's one half of that, isn't it? Learning from the example. The other half, well, because Jesus has saved us by his death and resurrection, we know where we're headed as Christians, don't we? We know that we are headed for eternal life with Jesus. And if that is our destination, then it makes sense that we want to be getting ready now for the life that is to come in his kingdom. It makes sense that now we want to be growing more and more like Jesus in his wisdom, in his perfection. We have been saved for a purpose, not to be passengers. And so in his strength, we need to be working hard at being wise, fulfilling our responsibilities, instead of loving the lazy life of ease. We've been challenged by this morning. We need to pray. We need to ask God's help that we too can take action against those characteristics in our life which would lead us to the foolish way of the sluggard. So let's pray now that God would help us. Our Father in heaven, as we read your word, so often we are challenged by how we have fallen short of your glory. We have not lived the wise lives that we should have done. And in many ways, we love ease. We love comfort. We love it too much. We love it more than we love you. Forgive us, we pray. And we ask that you would help us in the power of your Spirit to put to death our slothful ways. That we would have energy and wisdom to know how best to serve you with the time and resources that we have. Help us to learn from the world around us and the examples you've given us. Help us to learn from the destination that we are headed in our Lord Jesus, our Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen.